about walking in the Spirit
so that we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I'm enjoying the popcorn scripture, huh? Good. That's a good way to learn it. I like it that way. Can't wait to get home and try it out. Romans chapter 8, I'm going to start reading in verse 9. I'm going to go right through verse 14 because we've been talking about walking in the Spirit, also living in the Spirit, and then at this time we're going to talk about being indwelt by the Spirit and being led by the Spirit. Because when the Spirit of God moves into a life, He takes over. Look with me, please. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it says, "But you were not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Verse 11, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you." Verse 12, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death, the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." Let's pray once more that we'll know the Lord's blessing from His Word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You now for Your Word. We pray that as we consider the things we've read, that You'll give us good understanding by Your Spirit who guides us into all truth. Open up our hearts, Lord, to Your presence at this time and communicate with us in a way that we can understand, because we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, you know, when you think of being indwelt by the Spirit, we're talking of the Spirit of God actually dwelling in us. Now think about it. You've got the life of God actually living in you. Once you've believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, He actually moves right into your life. Oftentimes we say we open our heart and the Lord comes in, or we open our life and He comes in to live. But it's really true. How does He do it? Well, the Lord promised that if you will do His will, the Father and the Son will come and set up their abode in your life. I believe He does it by the person of the Holy Spirit. Because God exists in three distinct persons, yet the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they're all one and the same. They have the same mind. They do the same thing. They have the same purpose. And yet, it's the Spirit of God who actually comes into our life or our spirit to commune with us, to set up His abode, to actually indwell us. Now, the great thing about the life of God in us is it gives us the surety that we're not according to the flesh. That's really what verse 9 tells us. Remember, verse 8 we said, if you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. But verse 9 starts by saying, but you are not in the flesh. In other words, we're directing this to those who are believers, not to those who are unsaved or lost people. Not unbelievers, but to believers. So the fact that God lives in me gives me the surety that I belong to Him. That's how I know it. When we spent some time in Switzerland, we had a little basement apartment right on the side of a nice mountain. We could see the Alps over the distance. And the nice couple that owned the house in which we lived, his English was pretty good. We were trying to learn French, and he did pretty well in English because he had spent some time over in Britain. But yet it was still a little bit of a broken English. Eventually, we felt like our French was getting better than his English. But his wife, her English was pretty pitiful. And so it was always a struggle to have a conversation. But the first time we were invited to dinner in their home, they were believers. We were just there for a few months. So Bertrand and Christine, they said, we want you to come up for dinner. So we got up for dinner. And Bertrand said, well, it's been very nice to have you and Nancy, that's the way he talked to you, Nancy, to stay here with us for these 3 months. And I thought that before you leave, we'll have a special dinner. Now, Christine, knowing just a little bit of English, she used to say, yeah, yeah. And so Bertrand said, because you have been a blessing to our life. And Christine said, yeah, yeah. I wish you could have been there. It's hilarious. Then Bertrand said, I think that we would like to have a special going away dinner for you. Christine said, yeah. He said, we thought we'd have something very typical for Switzerland. Christine said, yeah, like pizza. Pizza? Typical for Switzerland? Wait a minute. That was different. I thought that would be more typical for Italian, wouldn't you think? Swiss pizza. Not what Italian pizza is, believe me. Believe me. But we went through the Swiss pizza, finished it all up. But the whole idea was they were trying to make us feel at home. And so the first time we were together with them, Bertrand told me this. Faites comme chez vous. Just act like it's your house. We say it in English, my home is your home. But then you know what he added? He said, my home is your home, but never forget that it's my home. Like, feel right at home. Don't get too much at home, because it's still my house. When the Spirit of God comes to dwell in us, He wants to be right at home. We were told, telling the Spirit of God, we want you to be right at home in our house, in our life, but don't forget that it's my life. Would He really be at home? Not at all. See, when the Spirit of God comes in, He takes over. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus with the two disciples that were going home to Emmaus on the day of the resurrection? 7 miles they were walking, and 7 miles He was teaching them all things throughout the Scriptures concerning Himself, starting with the prophets like Moses, all the way back in the book of Genesis, all the things concerning Himself for that 7 mile trip. When they got to their house at Emmaus, He made like He would go on a little bit further. And they said, it's late. Why don't you come and stay with us? Do you remember what happened? He went in, and as soon as He sat down at the table, He took the bread, blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. Wait a minute. Just whose house is this anyway? Picture it, if you will. Invite somebody to come home with you. And they say, yeah, I'll be glad to come home with you. And they sit down at your table, take your butcher knife, and start carving the roast. Say, what kind of piece would you like off this? They say, wait a minute. You're the guest. We're the host. What are you doing taking over? Well, only the Lord can do that and be comfortable at it. And only the Lord is the one who rightfully deserves to move in and take over. You move into a place, you start putting some of your own stuff in there. Start taking some of the other stuff that used to be there out. Might change the color. Might change the furniture. You move in, it's your place. Take over. The Spirit of God who indwells you gives you the assurance that you belong to Him, but He's at home in you. You want to make Him right at home. So He wants to change your furniture around a little bit. Get rid of some of the old stuff. Bring in some of the new stuff. If you have the Spirit of God dwelling in you, that should be a reality, that He's right at home in your life. You know, some believers say, oh yeah, the Spirit of God, He's indwelt me. I know I'm saved, but I don't let Him have His way. You're doing like Bertrand. Faites comme chez vous. My home is your home, but don't forget that it's my house. That's not the right way at all, is it? In fact, look if you will. It says that He not only comes and dwells in us in verse 9, but also in verse 9 He says, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not His. You don't have the Spirit of God living in your life, you don't belong to Him. That's the only way He'll come in, is by faith in Christ. It even tells us in the book of Ephesians, as well as in the book of 2 Corinthians, that He has come in as our seal, sealing us until the day of redemption. He's like the down payment. That when Christ died for our sins and paid the payment for us, we receive Christ and what He did for us, God gives the Holy Spirit like a down payment to say, I'm going to put a binder on this possession until I come to collect it. When He comes to collect it, the payment that's already been made has been enacted. He takes us to be with Him. We belong to Him. He's made the payment. He's made the down payment. The payment was Christ. The down payment was the Spirit of God, or is the Spirit of God, who lives in us until this body is taken home to heaven. We get a brand new body at that time. But we know we belong to Him because we have the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. You see, being indwelt by the Spirit, it says in verse 10, says that Christ is in us, and the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So the outside of us, it's the sinful part, it's destined to die because sin entered the world, death by sin, and everyone who's born of Adam's race, we're going to die. That's what sin has done, a terrible disease. But Christ has come in His righteousness and given us life. So in this outward shell of the body, we have the inner person that lives forever. That's where the Spirit of God dwells. Take a peanut, for instance. You know, the peanut with a shell. You got your peanuts inside, you know. When you look at it, all you see is the shell. You don't see the peanut. The same way that you look at your body, you say, well, I see the body of the person, but I don't actually see the person inside. The personality, what he's like, who he is, the Spirit of God living in him, it's all inside the shell. The body is just a shell. Heard a guy say when he was preaching one time, he said, when I die and you come to my funeral, when you look at my body, all you're seeing is the shell. The nut's already gone to heaven. So, that's the way it is. We've got a spirit, a soul, the Spirit of God dwelling within this body, and one day He's going to make it alive because He's the Spirit of life. And by the righteousness of Christ, He makes us alive. It's really what it means to have the life of God living in us. We're indwelt by the Spirit of God as our surety, as our seal, and even as our sustainment, our sustaining life and strength. Verse 11 tells us, as our strength, that the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is the one who dwells in you. And He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. You can be sure that your body will be made alive after you die, because the Spirit of God is the one who made Christ alive after He died. He was able to raise up Christ. He's able to raise us up. That's why so much rests on the resurrection of Christ. If Christ is not raised from the dead, Paul says, our faith is in vain. It's a hopeless cause. But we know that Christ was raised from the dead. Therefore, we know that we too are going to be raised from the dead. He's going to give life to these mortal bodies that are destined to die. He's going to make us alive again. So I'm saved by what Christ did on the cross. I'm sure by what God has written in the book. I'm sealed by the life of God living in me until the day of redemption, when this body will be made alive. It's all because I've got the life of God in me. I'm indwelt by the Spirit of God. And every person who believes has that indwelling sense and presence of God living in him. You know, this makes it very personal, doesn't it? All of a sudden, I realize that if God's living in me, the way I live really means something. And what I do, where I go, what I say, how I live, and especially with our theme, how we walk. For if we walk in the Spirit, we're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. It takes us to verses 12 through 14 that we read, not only being indwelt by the Spirit, but remember, when the Spirit of God moves in, He takes over. We're going to be led by the Spirit. He says, now I'm going to run your life from this point on. I heard of a girl who was praying the other day. She said, Lord, I haven't made any mistakes so far today. Haven't said anything wrong. Haven't had a bad attitude at all. But Lord, I'm about ready to get out of bed, and I'm going to have to trust you for each step of the way. Well, you know, a lot of times our life is one step at a time, and that's what we need to remember. When the Lord takes over because he's indwelled us, he's going to lead us. Who are the ones who are led by the Spirit of God? It's everyone who is a son or daughter of God. I want you to notice in verse 12, he says, therefore, brethren, means brothers and sisters, we're debtors. I mean, we owe someone something. But we're not debtors to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. What are we debtors to? Well, we're debtors to the Lord, to live according to the Spirit of God. You think about it. No obligation. We're not debtors any longer to the flesh. Do you know when I was born here on earth, it wasn't by choice. I didn't have any choice about being born. Neither did you. I didn't have any choice about where I was born. Neither did you. You didn't know you were going to be born right here in Blaisdell or over in Ohio or in Michigan or up in Ontario or me in Ohio, other people like my wife down in North Carolina. We didn't have any choice about where we were going to be born or whether we were going to be born. We didn't even have any choice about to whom we were going to be born, to our parents. Would you pick other parents if you could? You don't have to answer that. Just wonder. We didn't have a choice in it, did we? We didn't have a choice we were going to be born in America. Or that we were born as the people group that we are. Had no choice in the matter. And God understands this. He says, listen, your first birth, you have no choice. For your second birth, I'm giving you the choice. You have a choice to be born into God's family. Once you've made that choice, it opens up wonderful choices. And not only can be the one that makes the choice to be saved, but I also have the choice to serve the Lord. He tells me in, if you'll notice, right there in that verse, verse 12, we're not debtors to be living according to the flesh, but now I'm free. I'm free from sin. I'm free from the enslavement that I've been held all my lifetime. You know, before I'm saved, I had no choice, even in sin. There was no choice about it. I was under obligation. I was a debtor to the flesh. So is everyone who's not saved. But once you accept Christ, I'm free. Free from sin, but not free to do anything I want to. I'm free now. I have the option. I can serve the Lord. And because of that, he tells me in verse 13, if you live according to the flesh, you'll die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. It's really a life-death decision, isn't it? Who are the ones that live according to the flesh? People that are lost. Then who are the ones who live according to the Spirit? People that are saved. How are you living? Now, the principles operate, even though we talk about lost people and saved people, the principles operate that sometimes a saved person acts like an unsaved person, like a lost person. He says, don't do that. I've given you the choice. Take advantage of it. Choose the right thing. Choose to serve me. The Bible teaches that there are some people who are dying while they're living. That's lost people. Paul writes to Timothy and he said, those who live in wanton pleasure, they're actually dying while they're living. You've heard about the BMW burial, haven't you? Guy had a desire because he loved his BMW so much. He always wanted it, lived for it. Finally bought it and he put it in his will. He said, when I die, I want to be buried in my BMW. Sure enough, he died. BMW still in perfect condition. They put him into it, set up a crane. They were lowering him down into this huge grave at the cemetery, according to his will. Well, over on the edge of the cemetery were a couple homeless guys, and they were watching this thing. one of them said today, man, that's living. It wasn't living, it was dying. There are a lot of people that are dying while they're living. They think they're really enjoying life, but really they're not. They're just dying in the whole process. But you know, the believer is different. When Paul says in verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you'll live. Those who are believers, they're not dying while they're living. They're living while they're dying. You see, I know that this body is dying. I saw it this morning when I looked in the mirror. It's in the process of decay. Things are changing. We're passing away. And everything in our world is passing away. Nothing lasts forever. The trees are beautiful right now, and what a gorgeous day. Come back in a month and a half. We're going to find the leaves are changing colors, starting to fall and turn brown. It's all a changing world, and we're changing and passing away. This body, though it's dying, it's got the life of God in it. So I want to be living while I'm dying. And while I'm on the way, physically to the grave, the Spirit is renewing our spirit moment by moment. And I'm enjoying every bit of my life. I'm really living now. I know you are too. That's why we can enjoy special times like this, because we're living, even though we're dying. I've seen more life in people that are on their deathbed than I've seen in people that are in the world that think they're enjoying life, but it's really just dying while they're living. Which one are you doing? Are you dying while you're living, or are you living while you're dying? It's a great identification mark, you know. How would you be identified? Verse 14 says it this way, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. If I have God Himself, His very life, living in me, I'm indwelt by the Spirit of God. When He moves in, He takes over, and He changes my life one step at a time, and I'm being led by Him, then I know that I belong to Him. And everyone who is led by the Spirit of God in their life, well, they know the reason their life is different is because they have the life of God in them. Who in the world would ever live their life like this? Well, that's simple. The ones who are sons and daughters of the Most High God, the ones who are led by the Lord, are the ones that belong to Him. Have you got the life of God in you? You're saved by what Christ did on the cross. If you're sure, you have to be sure by what God wrote in the book. If you're sealed by the Spirit of God unto the day of redemption. We're indwelt by His Spirit. And when He moves in, He takes over. We're led by the Spirit of God. How does He lead us? Well, He leads us one step at a time. Because we walk in the Spirit, so we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So here's what we've been talking about up to this point. Walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. Are you? Indwelt by the Spirit. Have you been? Led by the Spirit. Is it a reality in your life? Are you allowing the life of God to live through you? I trust you are. Tonight we're going to look a little bit further in the book of Romans and talk about some of the other work that the Spirit of God does, step by step, as we walk in the Spirit. Shall we pray?